Later this year, Asheville City voters will have an opportunity to elect a mayor and fill three regular seats on the city council. The seats occupied by Mayor Esther Mannheimer and council members Gwen Whistler, Gordon Smith, and Cecil Bothwell are all being considered this fall. Today, as part of Asheville FM News Team's coverage of the city council elections, we're speaking with mayoral candidate Jonathan Wainscott. Wainscott has previously run for Asheville City Council. Mr. Wainscott, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in. So just to jump in, how long have you lived in Asheville?
I've lived in Asheville for 19 years and just celebrated my 18-year anniversary in my lovely home in East West Asheville, right down the road from us. So,
Great. So where were you before Asheville?
I lived in Chicago for about 6 years between and sort of during college. I took a year off from school my senior year and worked in Chicago for about a year, and then returned to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and finished my degree there, went back to Chicago doing woodworking, and then moved to Asheville in 1998.
So you're running for mayor this time around. You've run for city council a couple of times previously, correct?
Well, I only ran once, and that was in 2013. It was sort of it was very different than this race. There were no candidates coming forth to run against the opposition. We had one open seat at the time and basically two challengers. So we only had the minimum number of candidates that could thoroughly displace the incumbents. And so there was no primary, and you know, it was much different now. I think there's 12 people. In 2015, I was planning on running, but something got in the way, as in spending some time in the Buncombe County Jail for charges that were ultimately thoroughly dismissed, and I couldn't get to the Buncombe County Elections Office while I was in jail, so the filing period lapsed. So therein ended that effort. And so now, yeah, I'm running for mayor just because I think probably the chances of me becoming mayor or city council person are fairly equally low, to be honest. I would love to be mayor. I would love to be mayor. I think I would do a good job being mayor, and I would take it on as a full-time responsibility rather than sort of a part-time gig. So I'm thoroughly prepared to serve, but I'm also very realistic about what my chances are.
So what made you decide to jump in the race this time for mayor?
The filing fee for running for mayor was only $25 more. You know, so it's like, if you're going to go 75, why not, you know, pay the, you know, the upgrade and run for mayor, you know? So, I have to say, I'm not real thrilled with the leadership that we currently have. I think it requires more than just saying I don't like that person. You know, I definitely have forward-thinking ideas and, you know, want to be very involved in crafting policy. And I think there's sort of a paradox in thinking in town. You know, it's we've got a very small amount of very politically active people. You know, our voter turnout in municipal elections is around 20%. Sometimes not even that much. And, you know, the people who are politically active and aware kind of view city council and the mayor's position as having lots of power. And in reality, it doesn't. The mayor doesn't really have any exclusive powers. You know, he or she can't, you know, write any kind of executive ordinance and just put it into place. It's just, you know, one more vote out of seven that takes, you know, which is what it takes to get anything done. So, you know, on the one hand, there's that. And then on the other hand, you know, with all of the awareness of public officials, I'm sure you could probably name all seven people on council right now. You got the mayor and six others. I would challenge you to name all seven district court judges in Buncombe County. And that brings to mind, just for me, the notion that the people who have the most authority in our lives, quite a lot of authority, run in unopposed elections over and over and over again, and the populace doesn't know anything about them. They don't have to bear the scrutiny of a campaign because no one ever comes forward to challenge a sitting judge, and most of our judges weren't placed there by way of an election in the first place. They are filling a vacancy. So there's this sort of backdoor entrance into the judiciary, and while everybody is, you know, hyper worried, let's say if Jonathan Wainscott became mayor, that I could, you know, single-handedly drive the city off the cliff, and there's really no power to do that. And, you know, everybody is aware of who Cecil Bothwell is and Gordon Smith and Gwen Whistler and all these, you know, people. But, you know, do you know who Judge Keppel is? You know, so I would like to sort of use this as a format or a platform to bring more awareness to that, and which isn't a city council issue. It's just a civic issue of public awareness over for public officials and, you know, what we expect of them and what their job actually is. Now, getting back to what the mayor's job and city council's job is to oversee staff and make sure that, you know, staff is performing well and is carrying out the wishes of the people. And so that's really where the power lies, and I see that that power is not being really used. And I just kind of feel like city council has become a rubber stamp for city staff, which really runs everything. And so when city staff comes and says, well, we need $6 million more, and because we didn't get our stuff right on, you know, the budget situation that we've got now, it's just like, oh, well, okay, and boom, you know, it passes unanimously and with very little criticism. So I'm definitely known for being, you know, a lot of things: brash, abrasive, confrontational, and a variety of other, you know, pejorative adjectives, I suppose. But I would like people to understand that it's born out of a frustration that, you know, just things are not being handled correctly here, and I don't think that the concerns of the people are being addressed.
Give us a little bit about what your vision is for the city in the next 5 years or so.
Well, my vision of where the city is going to go in the next 5 years is that we're getting in this second wave of gentrification that seems to now be even more affluent than the first wave. And it kind of makes sense now that everything's been sort of established and Asheville's got this tremendous amount of notoriety and a tremendous amount of exposure. We're attracting, you know, another group of people, or, you know, just like I've said before, the sort of wave that's coming in California and New York with lots and lots and lots of money. So it's sad for me to see Asheville, you know, turning into such a tourist-driven sort of Myrtle Beach in the mountains with, you know, a sprinkling of frat boy energy from upstate and, you know, Raleigh area, and it's kind of sad. So I see the city going in that direction, and I see the challenges that brings as far as affordable housing and, you know, just general cost of living here. What I would do is pull back on this promotion of Asheville so vigorously. We have an increasing amount of money coming in from our hotel occupancy tax, and none of it gets used for city services or improvements. And there's some grants that get written from the county. You know, maybe we get a soccer field or something like that. That's great. Love soccer. Played soccer. Love soccer fields. But we have bigger problems here, and the pressure of tourism exacerbates those problems. Tourists need the same services as residents. If a tourist has a heart attack, the Asheville Fire Department shows up. You know, if there's a fender bender, the police show up. You know, we have water use, road use, traffic, all of that kind of stuff, and we are not using money that we're collecting. Lots of money. I mean, lots of money. Right now, it's over $17 million a year, or approaching $17 million a year that we collect in a tax that, while we describe it as a tax, you would think that it's going to the greater good, and it's not. It's all going to the Buncombe County Tourism Development Authority with the explicit requirement to use that money to just promote more tourism. And then more tourists come, then we need more hotels. More hotels gets more occupancy room tax, and that's more money that has to be spent on convincing people to come here. And that tourism development has been fully developed, and now it's just a huge slush fund. You've got a staff of 24 people on the Buncombe County Tourism Development Authority, which I think is ridiculous. You know, it's huge. It's almost exclusively white. Last time I checked their website, they had one African-American woman out of 24 people on staff, you know. So when we're looking at cultural issues, you know, that Asheville remains a segregated kind of city, that we have a diminishing minority population, our achievement gap in schools between white students and minorities is growing, and then you turn around and you go, wow, there's $17 million being spent by a huge staff of white people to throw a party here in Asheville. I think our priorities are thoroughly out of line, and I think that while I totally dig the progressive vibe of Asheville, you know, good music and good food, you know, from a slightly snobbish kind of way that, you know, makes a place cool and all that stuff, our progressive vibe is so much better than and bigger than our progressive actions. I don't see other cities trying to emulate anything that we're doing. You know, we're constantly trying to figure out how we can be like Austin, which is thoroughly ridiculous to me. They've got a university that's got a student body that is half the population of Asheville. You know, it's a state capital, and it's got, you know, six times as much traffic, air traffic in their airport than we do. It's just a thoroughly, you know, incongruous comparison to try to emulate Austin, and we're not doing anything in which cities in North Carolina our size can go, wow, they're doing something really cool in Asheville, we should do that too, or nationally as well.
So other than some of these things that you've already talked about, any other issues during your campaign that you're going to try to highlight and make kind of bring to the forefront for this campaign?
Well, what I am all about is actual practical, tangible solutions. You'll probably hear that a lot. It'll be my, you know, soundbite. Like, what can we actually do? Right. And so for me, you know, when I see water bubbling up out of the street because of a broken water line that is, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old, and then we're going to pave over the street and not repair the water line properly and then have to dig up the street again, or we're painting, you know, the bicycle reminder sharrows on a street that is hardly suitable for mule traffic. I mean, it's horrible. It's crazy to me. Like, what are we, like, I know that makes the bike people feel as though we're spending money on bikes, but when the road is impassable, that seems like a really ridiculous way of spending your money. I think that I would like to see our economic development mission radically shift from shopping for businesses and throwing incentives at them and trying to, you know, establish some sort of industry here, to understanding that if we have just, you know, a killer education system here, that is going to attract business. You know, that everything that you want as a person moving to a town, a business wants as well. Of course, they have other needs, and it's sort of, it's like micro versus macro sense. But if we have, you know, mediocre academic achievement in our schools, and you know, high crime and not a lot of money and low wages, I mean, who's going to want to move here, mm-hmm. other than people who can afford to just, like, retire and play and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Right. So I want to see our efforts go into the things that make us just a really strong and wonderful community. And that is what will attract who knows what kind of business. You know, I don't think that we should, you know, be pigeonholing ourselves into just a couple industries. I mean, think about it. Tourism is precarious, you know, it's fad driven. You know, people can come here and say, yeah, I've been there, done that. It wasn't all that much, not worth it anymore. Some other town is the new hot item. So that's definitely something that can fade. And then we've got the beer industry, and, you know, I mean, something that's so dependent on one agricultural commodity being hops and water, and, you know, so much of it controlled by mega corporations. You know, that worries me.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to see city council oversee staff, make sure that they're being honest, that they're being productive, that we've got a higher degree of transparency. I would just like to see all of our financial transactions online every day. Yeah. I would like you to just be able to click on and say, this is, you know, who got paid today. Not, you know, the person and their name, you know, the guy working on the pothole crew. You don't need to, you know, divulge, you know, that guy's salary and how many hours he worked there and all that kind of stuff. But just like, where did we collect the money? Where, what fund did it go to? How much did it go to this department? And all we should be able to see all of that. There's a trail, you know, I mean, if we're going to court tech industry, I don't think that us, you know, putting our bank account online, you know, our state, if we can't do that, it's kind of embarrassing to go like, oh, it's, that's too difficult for us to do. That would take so much effort. And like, but Google, please come here. You know, it, could you imagine having a town that did that? Other towns would do that. There would be other progressive towns that said, hey, we want to go do that. I mean, one of the things that I would like to see in the district elections is, you know, I brought this idea up in front of a council meeting, is to have Northeast, Southwest, and Central, you know, so it's at five, and a mayor, and to have a sixth district which recognizes the existing boundaries of a group of people who are, have a more unique neighborhood experience than anybody else in Asheville. They live under different rules than anybody else in Asheville, and that would be the residents of public housing. Take all of the residents of public housing and call them a district. They might be contiguous. You know, they're not necessarily touching. Mm-hmm. There's fewer of them in that one district than there are in others, so they would have a higher degree of representation. But so what? How are you ever going to get somebody from public housing to serve on city council? Imagine being a town that has figured out a way in which they guaranteed that a member or a resident of their public housing would be a sitting member of city council rather than just, you know, on some board of the blah, 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 you know, committee and all that kind of stuff. I think that would be an unbelievably progressive thing. Of course, it probably wouldn't fly in North Carolina state legislature, but I think that if we're going to be progressive, we should try to make some progressive bold steps. So if the North Carolina legislature says break yourself up into districts, we should say, okay, yeah, you know what, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it this way. And that's the kind of, you know, like, progressive ideas that I would like to see actually happen, or at least explored, instead of, you know, what you will see in the campaign is you will see ideas thrown up into the air and then shot down like a turkey shoot. You know, it's like, oh, that guy's got that idea, this is why it won't work, bang, 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 instead of actually, you know, mulling these things over and going, what are we going to do as a progressive city, you know, this progressive oasis in the South? It's got to be more than just, you know, disc golf and mountain biking and cool tunes and good shows and, you know, overpriced tapas.
Tell me what would differentiate you from some of the other folks that are running for mayor this time around?
Well, obviously, you know, the mayor sticks out to begin with. From the last time she ran, it was an open seat and three people came forward to say that I can do that job. And 4 years later, now we have three people coming forward to say I can do that job better. Not to put words in the mouths of Jonathan and Martin, but I think that anybody who's running thinks that they could probably do a job that's better than the current mayor. So what I would do differently would, again, be full-time mayor, office hours. You want to come in and say something, you know, here's 15 minutes. There's a waiting line out there. If there's no one around, sit and chat longer, all that kind of stuff. And really hold staff to task and make sure that everything that they're telling us is, you know, on the up and up, and double, you know, check them and call them out on discrepancies and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I would be a much more hands-on and active, you know, mayor. That would be my job. You know, that would be what I would do. And I think that is a good place to start. I don't know how I am different so much politically from Martin and Jonathan. I haven't gotten to meet Jonathan, the other Jonathan. I can't remember his last name. So there you go. Apologies. You know, I would be stoked for either one of them because I'm so dissatisfied with Mayor Manheimer. It's going to be a nice conversation. I hope that we can have, you know, decent conversations while also having, you know, rigorous discourse about what's going on. So I think probably our styles are a lot different, our backgrounds are different, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm sure that we all share a passion for Asheville, and we are probably just different in the things that we see, the problems that we identify, and the solutions forward. I hope to differentiate myself by actually having, you know, if I identify a problem, work on the solution and not just go, this isn't working, and not, and, you know, talk in sort of like just philosophical platitudes and ideas. Like, what are we actually going to do to change the situation that is, and how did the situation get here, and what do we need to do to stop it from going any further? That kind of thing. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to hearing the ideas of Martin and Jonathan, and, you know, looking forward to hearing what Mayor Manheimer has to say as well. And looking forward to hopefully people listening to what I have to say. You know, I know that I'm colorful and that could be distracting, but this time around I will tone it down. You know, I'll turn it down, but I'm not going to turn it off. You know, I'm still, I guess, a gadfly, and I think that's important. So we'll see.
Great. Okay. Where can people find out more about the campaign?
Right now, just like my Facebook Elect Jonathan Wainscott page, which I, you know, now have some time to spend, you know, putting together the platform and spelling everything out. So there's not a whole lot right there available right now, but I'll be putting out a lot of, you know, information soon.
For Asheville FM NewsHour, this is Doug Klesch.